The new book, Howard Zinn, A Life on the Left, is the first major biography of the late social activist, written by acclaimed historian and biographer Martin Duberman, the first scholar to gain access to Zinn's personal papers after he died in 2010. Howard Zinn, the biography, is a balanced and comprehensive consideration of Zinn's politics, his turbulent personal life, and his life's work. Martin Duberman is Distinguished Professor Emeritus of History at the CUNY Graduate School, where he founded and for a decade director of the Center for Lesbian and Gay Studies. It's a great pleasure to welcome Martin Duberman to the program. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
Thank you.
How did you come to know and ultimately want to explore the legacy of Howard Zinn?
I knew Howard somewhat personally. We were never intimate friends, but through the decades, we would meet here or there at a convention or whatever and exchange a few words. And I was always very fond of Howard and very much attuned to his political views.
When you look at that legacy, and as you say, A Life on the Left, I knew a lot about his later life, his later activism, but his early life is equally fascinating.
Yes, he came from a very poor Jewish family. Both his parents were immigrants. His father did all kinds of menial work, you know, window washer, waiter, never got very far in life as successes, at least traditionally defined. So Howard, as he himself put it at one point, he was sort of born class conscious. He knew perfectly well that the American myth that if you work hard enough, you can accomplish anything you want was essentially nonsense. That privilege and contact made all the difference in the world. He wasn't involved politically in terms of organizational work until after World War II. I think his first major affiliation was the Henry Wallace campaign for the presidency in 1948.
You do write about those early years and tell us about a demonstration in 1939 in Times Square, where really there was this transformation of Howard Zinn from a liberal to a radical, and this belief that was instilled in him at that point that there was something fundamentally wrong with the country.
Yes, he had a number of radical friends as a young man, a teenager, really, and they persuaded him to take part in that Times Square demonstration. Howard was, in fact, knocked out by a policeman's billy club and woke up many hours later in a doorway. The demonstration long since over, but it added to Howard's sense of who had the power and whether or not the freedom to demonstrate and to speak out was intact in this country. So that did, further move him along the political perspective toward radicalism.
And he went to war and came out, but then that radical spirit very much emerged after the war, and then really followed history with the various social movements that were going on through those decades that followed.
Yes, I was unable really to pinpoint a particular event or, reading a particular book. Howard seems to have emerged at a certain point as a full-blown radical, a critic of the system, who wanted to do more than liberals did, meaning wanted to do more than tinkering around the edges. He thought a lot was wrong with our system, and substantial change was necessary, more than just tinkering. But throughout World War II, which Howard later came to question, and it's often been called the Good War, but he came to question that designation. But during the war itself, he served as a bombardier. He was part of a crew that flew so high above the action that he never actually saw the destruction wrought by the bombs the plane dropped on various sites. So during the war, there is nothing from Howard about questioning whether or not this war was justified, whether any alternative options existed, no denunciation of war itself, which, of course, he later very much denounced.
Certainly one of the earliest critics of the war in Vietnam, wrote the book in 1967, Vietnam, The Logic of Withdrawal. One of the things that I found fascinating about the story is that for the amount of fight that he had in him, for how much that he would rise up against, there was a very optimistic man.
Yes, I think without question. And it seems to me that you have to be a deep-seated optimist in order to persevere in any kind of social justice work, because the odds of achieving anything substantial are always great, and you suffer many defeats and disappointments. So if you don't have an optimistic spirit, you're likely to drop out somewhere along the way, which Howard never did. Shortly before his death in 2010, he wrote a few pieces on Obama, in which, from my point of view, with considerable prescience, he predicted that people would be disappointed, that Obama was not the left-leaning man that so many seemed to think he was, but rather he was a rather cautious and conciliatory centrist.
30 years before his death, his book, A People's History of the United States, was published. Tell us about the first edition. What ground did it break?
Well, that's a complicated question. The year before Howard published A People's History, he published it in 1980, a long research article appeared examining U.S. high school textbooks. And that was very revealing, because what it showed was that, our textbooks, generally speaking, were in praise of elites, whether political elites or business elites, and its heroes were, presidents and generals and businessmen of great wealth, that there was almost nothing in the books about the failures or limitations of the American system, nor was there anything much about the working class and how at various points in our history, strikers and unions sought to achieve better working conditions for their members, sometimes with success and sometimes not. So Howard wanted to write a history that included a lot of what was left out of the standard textbooks. As a result, in his own book, A People's History, he downplayed the hero worship of, the rich and famous, and concentrated instead on the stories of so-called ordinary people. And for that, he got a lot of criticism, as might be expected.
He got a lot of criticism, but the book eventually caught on with generations, and it became a classic. And what I found fascinating is the staying power that book had, yet here was a man that is, after publishing that book, was still poorly paid when he was at Boston College, and he had a tough time even getting his memoir published.
Possibly, but certainly I'd agree that the book has become a classic. It sold way above 2 million copies at this point, and in fact, every year it sells more books than the preceding year, which is almost unheard of in publishing, especially, you know, 30-some years after the original pub date. Although the book has become very popular and has done a lot to transform the way history is taught in high schools and on the college level as well, it has continued to draw fire. And from some historians of note, for example, just this past year, Michael Kazin, who's a well-regarded historian, published a book called Dreamers, and there's a section on Howard in which he quite bitterly attacks a people's history. So the book continues both to be a success and to be controversial. What you say about his life as a professor is certainly true in one sense. He was the lowest paid full professor at Boston University, and he had a running battle with its longtime president, John Silber, who at one point ran for governor of Massachusetts. Silber was a conservative, a very deep-seated conservative. He also had the Board of Trustees of Boston University in his pocket, and he could do pretty much whatever he wanted to do. Even though Howard was also an enormously popular teacher, so he was a productive scholar and a popular teacher, and yet the lowest paid full professor in his department. So generally speaking, I think your characterization is accurate.
As you mentioned, it's a testament to the work that A People's History of the United States continues to sell more copies year after year. And it says a lot about his reputation and the securing of that reputation. Although you do say in the book that, that ultimately, coming down to future generations, it will be his character that will resonate.
I think so. There's a lot about the book that will always be right, at least from my perspective. Right is the wrong choice of words. But, for example, Howard almost single-handedly has destroyed the reputation of Christopher Columbus as, you know, a brave and noble figure. He was, in fact, a brute who massacred the Indians. Howard, I think, as a human being, will always remain a model for many of us, certainly not for all of us, but Howard was a fearless defender of the rights of the so-called average person. He was outraged at the injustices, the differences, for example, in pay scale among workers, the way in which minorities are treated in this country. Howard, we haven't mentioned this, but we certainly should. Howard taught at the black college Spelman in Atlanta starting in 1956, when the black struggle for civil rights was just beginning. And he taught there until he was fired in the early 60s by the black president, because Howard was so active in the civil rights struggle. And he was very modest about his contribution. One historian has actually underlined that fact. She has uncovered material about Howard's role most of us never knew, and Howard himself never prominently displayed. He was content largely with playing a backseat role, even though what he did in the movement was very important. He and Ella Baker, for example, were the two people chosen by the members of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, young black people who were active in behalf of their rights. So that fact alone, I think, shows the kind of esteem that Howard was held in. And that esteem never changed, even with the rise of black power and black nationalism.
It is a fascinating biography of a fascinating man. The book is Howard Zinn, A Life on the Left. It is published by The New Press. Martin Duberman, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I greatly appreciate your time and expertise.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Howard Zinn, A Life on the Left by Martin Duberman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.